First item on the agenda, councillors, is to approve the minutes of the meeting of council held 15th of May 2023. That's published on the council's website.
Yeah. Aye.
Aye.
Approved. Thank you. Honour any apologies for absence?
Mr. Mayor, apologies for councillors Fordham, McEwen, Jay Nixon and
Councillor Burns. Thank you. Are there any declarations of interest? Councillor, declarations of interest.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and good evening, and nice to see the modernising influence to start the meeting, which is welcome. I declare a personal interest on agenda item number 8.
Good evening, welcome all. Good evening, Mr. Mayor. I declare a personal interest on agenda item 8.
Thank you,
Mr.
Mayor.
Are there any declarations of interest?
Yes,
Mr.
announcements this evening. I've got two announcements, the first of which is regarding the Isaac Walton birthday commemoration. Church service at St Mary's Church on Sunday the 6th of August. All members are invited to this, and I would warmly welcome you and encourage you to do so, Isaac Walton being a significant member of the history of the borough. And the second item is for the Battle of Britain commemoration on Sunday the 17th. This is some advance notice on this one. Sunday the 17th, church service and invitations have been sent out accordingly. Please do accept those invitations. Pleased to see you there. Okay, we now go on to item 5, the public question time. If Mrs. Farrington and Mr. Farrington would like to come forward. I'll remind you all that this particular section is for 15 minutes. To put her question, her first question, to the cabinet.
The question
is
to be put
as set out in the paper. Would the cabinet member like to respond to that?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, with your permission and with yours, I'll have to interpret the question a bit. If you use some terminology that's a bit out of date, RDBs and such like. Settlement boundaries are an intrinsic part of a neighbourhood plan. A neighbourhood plan, when passed, forms part of the local plan. That local plan, that current local plan, under law, is reviewed every now and then, potentially for revisions. And can come back and be changed or not as seems suitable at that time. But that's quite a simple question. You could get that question from asking anyone. This must be a deeper question. So when we look at whether they should be preserved or not, we need to look at why this is a question. The former Conservative administration chose to propose changes to settlement boundaries, predominantly west of the M6. This is somewhat surprising for those of us who live west of the M6, because the parish councils weren't consulted ahead of time, weren't consulted sufficiently. When the preferred options document was issued, a preferred options document received a lot of surprising information the locals had. The officers are looking at that. They have recommended some changes to their preferred options to me. We're reviewing those. And I personally commit to going to the parish councils and offering to talk to them before final decision is made. Local knowledge is important. It's not like we preserve settlement boundaries forever. The law, morals, democracy says that we should review things from time to time, but we should take a poll of local people, or we should talk to parish councils, we should get local information when we propose those changes. That will happen under this administration.
And Mrs. Farrington placed a second question. Do you want that taken? Did you want a supplementary question on that? You're allowed one question just to clarify what was said. Thank you. So in that case, the second question, do you want that taken as read there? I believe you're coming from Johnson.
I believe it's essentially been answered by my doctor's question, but I was very used to the word that just came.
Okay, thank you.
I believe the second question was largely answered in my first question, so I'm ready for those words.
Yeah. Any supplementary question?
No.
Mr. Farrington.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, how are you? Could I ask the cabinet member to respond to the questions as set out, please?
I'd be happy for you to suggest which part of the question I have not set out. Our floor I have referred. Our floor I have referred to the fact that settlement boundaries are a vital part of development, are part of the local plan, part of the strategy. I've also referred to whether they should be preserved or not. They should always be reviewed and revised as according to law. I've already answered that.
Any supplementary questions, Madam?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My supplementary question is this. My question was specific. Will the Cabinet member agree to exclude from the preferred option sites in Dorsal and Hunting's Ward those areas outside the RPP boundaries? The answers given to questions 1 and 2 did not deal with that specifically. Could I please have an answer specifically to the question that I put?
Largely reiterating what I just said, everything should be reviewed. That's what the law says. We should review the local plan from time to time. It is morally right to review things. In your question, you do refer to the word sanctity. Sanctity, I don't believe, has any place in this. The idea there is a semi-religious protection for anything in planning is somewhat out of place. It's the idea that this is preserved to the year 3000, to infinity and beyond, is not right. I refer you back to the words I said before. The law, morals and democracy say we should review things from time to time. We should be prepared for revisions. The local people, if they feel that revisions should not happen, are well within their rights to make those representations to council, well within their rights to defend the things that they previously had protected. And I will be talking to any parish councils that are impacted by changes to settlement boundaries. I personally am committing to doing that, so that we can understand what's going on. This is something that the local plan doesn't require, and prior Conservative administration chose not to do. This is something that the current administration is happy for me to do.
I'm grateful, Mr. Mayor, for you referring to me as Councillor Farrington. I don't have it still in my heart. I did ask my supplementary question in relation to question 3. I know the reply, which doesn't really answer the question. And so maybe we could just go on to question 4 as well, please.
Yeah, that's item B2.
Question B2, again we refer to RDBs, which are not current terminology. So when we talk about settlement boundaries, they form part of a neighbourhood plan. The become part of the current local plan. The current local plan is up for revision. There is a moral and legal obligation to review the local plan. The settlement boundary has the same rights protections as a local plan. The local plan is being reviewed. The prior Conservative administration proposed changes to these settlement boundaries. We received feedback on those changes. The officers have been advising me on what additional changes should be made to their proposals following some surprising local information. And we will look at whether to change or not. It is in fact a moral, legal and democratic obligation to review and potentially revise. It's not moral and it's not lawful to say that you must never change settlement boundaries. So the balance of the law lies in reviewing from time to time.
Councillor, any supplementary question on that?
Yes, Mr. Barrington. Apologies, Mr. Mayor. No, Mr. Mayor, I see where this whole discussion is going. I see no benefit in putting the question again to the member. Clearly, my questions haven't been answered properly.
Sorry.
That's the answer, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'd like to return. So, Council will move on to item 6 on the agenda, which is the Councillor session. To remind you, this is questions only. The first one, item A, Councillor Pert, is to submit the following question in accordance with paragraph 12.3a of the Council procedure orders. Councillor Pert.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy for that to be taken as read.
Thank you. Would the leader like to respond to that, please?
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. In response to Council Pert's council session, I say at the last election, which is only a couple of weeks away, we knocked on doors, Mr. Mayor, and the most talked about issue on the doorstep, most of us found, was the town centre. And basically what's happened to the town centre over the last 20 years, strangely enough coinciding with the tenure of the party opposite. A lot of people want to go back to what it was like 20 years ago, when it was a really nice traditional market town and county town. Unfortunately, we've had a few hurdles put in our way to get there in the last few years, and we have the north end of the town looking like it does. This is very important why I mention this, because we, when we formed our new administration, took on board how important and what it meant to the people of Stafford and the borough as a whole and the county as a whole. And so what we decided to do was have a cabinet member who was specifically in charge of looking after the town centre and coordinating all the work that needs to be done urgently. And we've appointed Councillor Rob Kenny to head the regeneration of the town centre. This is a priority, as I've said, of the electorate, and now it is a priority of this council. Councillor Kenny, who runs, could also be working with and helping the two big portfolios, environment and economic development. And we'll also cover for absent colleagues if they're on holiday or away. Now, I say that's a pretty full agenda for Councillor Kenny, and I hope he realises what he's taken on. To answer the question on what we cut to finance this, the answer is nothing. We cut the extra money is coming from existing base budgets. And the underspend from the members' cost area of the budget. Therefore, no additional finance is required, as has been checked and deemed appropriate by the head of finance and staff of the council. Also, it may interest members to know that the constitution of the Dufferborough Council shows that the cabinet will have a minimum of 2 members and a maximum of 9. It's actually 7 members and a leader on the new cabinet. And Councillor Pert mentions the courtesy. Let me comment. When we were the opposition, we were never asked about cabinet changes or additions by the previous administration. Then, the then opposition, which is us, had the good grace to accept any additional posts created, assuming there was a genuine need for them. And this is the case now. There is a genuine need for this position. And one final thing, Mr. Mayor, I will say directly to Councillor Pert is we will always be courteous to the opposition.
Thank you. First of all, Councillor Pert, please supplement the question.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Godfrey, leader, for the response. I was in dialogue with the veteran ex-councillor Mike Smith earlier in the week. And he reminded me 20 years ago, the first thing that the Conservative administration did to demonstrate that they meant business was to remove a cabinet role when they took over running this council 20 years ago. Because it was not needed and ate into council taxpayers' money. So it's rather ironic that the first thing that the new Labour coalition does is appoint a new role, a bit like jobs for all their friends. So my supplementary question to the leader is, given that this role is principally about town centre regeneration, when that work of relaying the town centre, when that work is done, will the role be removed?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Do you really think that the town centre will be regenerated when the Market Square has been laid? That probably sums up the whole problem of the last 20 years. We have a much bigger problem than that, and that will be overseen by Councillor Kent.
Thank you, Councillor Kent. Question. Yes, just remind you, this is questions only, not a statement or speech.
Yes, but why not ask questions only, Mr. Mayor? I can ask questions with regard to the question.
Mr. Mayor, and surely there's a point of order. Questions have to be on the notice paper and published 7 days out.
Mr. Mayor, it's Rule 12.4 of the Council Procedure Rules. So, immediately following the answer, the member who submitted the question may ask a supplementary question, and then any member of the Council may ask a supplementary question. Supplementary questions may be on any matter arising out of the original question or the answer.
That's okay.
Thank you. Just an explanation and a question to come. I have 20 years experience in retail and wholesale through the independent business I own with my wife. You know, the testing times that
Mr. Mayor,
endured by members.
Mr. Mayor,
I will
get
the question. I'm explaining the situation.
Yeah.
I've been part of various housing campaigns and my previous employment is involved in Project London. The question I have is when we talk of value for money and roles within the council and supplementary monies that are paid to other roles, those of the leader of the council, the members of cabinet, the chair of planning and the chairs of all the other committees, they have value for money. They have responsibilities. But I asked the question I asked, does the member think there is value in money when you have a leader of opposition that has a supplementary payment and has no responsibilities whatsoever? Thank you.
Any other councillor have any supplementary questions? To the two leaders. If not, thank you for that, and we'll move on to the next council session, which is council meeting, submitting the following question, as previously suggested. Council meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And just before I accept the question as stated, but I would like to commend the volunteers who are here today, who did an amazing job of work working with the refugees, and so there's no reflection on that in the question that's being asked. and I would also like to applaud the leader for heeding the call by ourselves to be transparent and to publish the legal advice that the Cabinet's using to justify its policy of not listening to local residents of this borough. Other councils have sought judicial review on large-scale sites. And national... So I just also... Oh, I'll come back to that. Sorry, that's my supplementary.
Thank you, Councillor Reader.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will answer the question as written down, if that's okay. Southport Council published the full legal opinion. Originally, this was only shared with the MP, and the reason for this was legal. But obviously now that position has changed, and we've been able to publish the full adjudication on the council website in full. It's very clear from the opinion of the planning law experts there is no way at all that a JR would be successful. And I can read from one sentence from the adjudication that came through. I regret to inform the council that in all circumstances of this case, there are no reasonable prospects at all of a successful application for statutory judicial review. And that seems pretty clear to me. That's the end of the quote. I would like, it would be a waste of council tax money in these financially tight times for councils. It would also be a very expensive way to delay a decision that will definitely go against us. Also, please remember that we'll be liable for the legal costs incurred by the Home Office and Serco. This would be many thousands of pounds, and so it would leave us with a lot less money to spend on the residents' concerns. Staffordborough Council has already spent over £50,000 in the inquiry process, and this does not include officer time. If anybody else would like to ask for a judicial review, and you, if you've got an interested party, you can, it doesn't have to be the council, they can, but we strongly recommend that you read the legal opinion you received. Staffordborough Council investigated all the options and arguments against siting of the asylum centre at Beaconside, including all the reasons stated for planning inquiry and all legal routes, including judicial review. The advice we received was very clear and with no room for doubt. I have been informed that two other councils have applied for judicial review, Baintree in Essex and West Lindsey in Lincolnshire. Their circumstances are very different to Stafford. In these cases, the government claimed permitted development rights, so they claimed that they did not need to apply for planning permission. These two councils are now challenging the government's claim through a judicial review. In Stafford's case, the government did apply for planning permission, and this was granted by HM Inspector, so Stafford cannot use the same reason for a judicial review. My hope is we can all work together for the well-being of all our residents and allay many of the concerns local people have by working with our partner agencies, the County Council, NHS, police and volunteer groups. We must listen and will listen to residents and respond to concerns as quickly as possible. We must remember that Staffordborough Council did not ask for this asylum centre to be sited here. The government has seen fit to put it here and overturn Staffordborough Council's original decision to refuse planning permission. We will be lobbying hard to secure greater funding for services for our residents, and we will make sure that everybody is informed as to what is happening. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you,
Councillor
Reid, please supplement question.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you very much for that answer. I can say, as a board member, as one of the two board members, I'm already working very hard with our own officers to see what we can do to do all the things that the leader has said, which is to try and ameliorate the local community concerns, of which they are profound. National statistics confirm that 85% of refugee claims nationally are successful. So we know that well over 300 Stafford Court migrants are likely to be accorded refugee status in the next 5 years. That's up to 100 of them a year. There are huge pressures on our housing stock already. I'm coming to the question. And so having dealt with our own housing challenge, we now are in the situation where under the Immigration Act, we have to secure priority accommodation for the many refugees when they leave Stafford Court. That's anything up to 100, perhaps even more, a year on top of our own housing needs, which are very substantial indeed. And so I'm asking that the leadership could confirm in ruling out the JR on grounds of cost, what thought has been given to factoring in the eye-watering and enormous financial cost to the council of continuing to look after these vulnerable residents alongside our own residents once they have achieved their refugee status. And as I say, 85% are given or accorded refugee status. It's a huge demand on our local housing services, and I'm not sure how we're going to deal with those. I hope the leader can either provide some answers or look for answers. And I would also say that the money that the government is offering, £3,500, is a drop in the ocean. It would not even begin to deal with the demands on this local authority, even if the money comes to this council, which I suspect it won't.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Very simple, I can answer that. We should be lobbying government hard for more funding for Stafford Borough, not only for the residents who will be coming in at the refugee asylum centre, but also for facilities for the people who live there already in the area, your ward. So the answer is we're badgering governments as hard as we can. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Leader. And if you could keep it as succinct as a question as possible and not a statement, I'd appreciate it.
Mr. Mayor, you met me.
Exactly.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you to the leader for the comments that he made. I note those. I also note that the leader said planning more experts, which was plural, had provided the advice. And obviously we've seen the advice from the appeal barrister, the barrister who led the appeal that was unsuccessful. So we've seen that. Is there an inference that there is a second legal opinion, and could we see that second legal independent opinion, please?
The second legal opinion, we've had obviously our own in-house legal team have looked at it, as well as the independent inspector. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Councillor
Wellington.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Right. Fairly succinct question from me. I went to the original planning meeting, which was quite charged and emotional. A lot of residents were there and were upset about this proposal. The first part of my question is, can the leader confirm that two out of three members of the Labour opposition voted for the original...
Mr. Mayor, this has nothing to do with the item I was asked to comment on.
Indeed. Yeah. And that being the case, does the leader feel that local residents who are in arms, a lot of local residents are upset about this proposal going forwards, does the leader feel that we should consider those residents and owe them at least a go at a JR?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think I partly answered that in the Councillor Pearce's answer, Councillor Beattie. The residents of the area living there at the moment and in the future are uppermost in our minds. They're not just there to make the numbers up locally. We care about the residents, we care about what concerns them. Some of them have legitimate concerns and we have to address them. We have to work with other agencies to make sure that we can allay the fears that some people have. And we have to really work hard at it as an authority and as local ward councillors as well. It's something we need uppermost in our minds as a local population. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further supplementary questions? If not, we'll move on to
Mr. Mayor, point of order. If you look at the Constitution, it does say that in terms of questions, no further supplementary questions may be asked after the expiry of 10 minutes following the original answer. So we must be coming perilously close to that.
It would have to be a very quick answer and a very quick question. Councillor
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, thank you, Councillor Cook.
Perilous.
I'd just like to ask the question to the leader. Can you assure this council that when moving forward, when people are having to be housed and what have you, that he will also look at our own young homeless people and make sure that they're getting housing as well? Thank you.
Again, Mr. Mayor, I think I partly answered that already. We certainly have to look to the future. We have to look at what's happening in the future and how we look after everybody in the future, not just the asylum seekers that come in, but the people who already live here. We have to really care and look after those as well. Thank
including
you.
Her Conservative government. What are they doing about
you,
housing?
Thank you, councillors. Please. That is most certainly the time of our question. That answer. We move on to the next item on the agenda now, which is item 7. We have a notice of a motion pursuant to paragraph 13 of council procedures. It's been proposed by Councillor Burt and Councillor Williamson. So Councillor Burt, if you'd like to.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will just take the motion as read, given it's on everyone's order papers and also has been published in advance. But just in introducing this, Mr. Mayor, wanted, and I'm sure it would be very favourable with the councillors on the front bench opposite, that actually when you look at our corporate plan, and I have a copy of the corporate plan which runs to the end of 2024 with me, but it talks about working in partnership to generate economic and sustainable growth. There are 27 outside bodies that Stafford Borough Council nominates representatives to. And I'm sure the aspiration for those bodies of nominating councillors or receiving councillors' nominations is greater strategic alignment, closer cooperation and joint working, and shared objectives between those organisations and the council. So in short, that the overall output is greater than the sum of the parts. Therefore, it follows to reason that nominated representatives to outside bodies, those strategic, community or otherwise, are dispensing a really valuable role to the community and to those outside bodies. Therefore, there should be some expectation that not just in terms of people being in the room, but actually working hard to develop that relationship and delivering joint outcomes. And if nominees choose not to attend or work with the body, then it holds everyone backwards. So this motion is really about, and it picks up from previous members' motions, Councillors Pearce and Godfrey from memory, who talked very eloquently and very very persuasively about having an annual report to be presented at council annually. And I would suggest that for accountability and transparency, that maybe the annual meeting of the council, where frankly there's probably sufficient relevant business on the agenda, that this would make an ideal thing to bring to council. That way, when we vote on those nominees being proposed later on within the agenda to outside bodies, we can vote on the clear knowledge and understanding of the work that has been done by those individuals in the previous 12 months. And that can be factored into the equation, whether it's positively or otherwise. Equally, taking the motion further forward, or taking the proposals previously from the opposite front benches further forward, I think that where attendance is unreasonably, unacceptably low, say, for argument's sake, in any given period, less than 80%, that rather than wait for the formal report, that individual should be substituted. Let me ask you, in the game of football, does a manager wait until the end of the game to change something or someone that is not working? No, no, of course they don't. They substitute them as soon as that realisation has dawned. It's not rocket science. We should have a high standard in this borough for ourselves, our council, our partners and our residents. And so as a result, this motion is about saying we need to come and report back so there is clear transparency and visibility of what is being done with those strategic partners and give them the credit they deserve, but also at the same stage look to ensure that the attendance of the work that is undertaken has the ability for review during the rest of that year. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to second that motion and reserve the right to speak later.
Thank you, Councillor. Does anybody else wish to speak on it? Councillor.
Thank you, Councillor Perth, for pointing out that in the past I have asked for this something along these lines to be established. Perhaps you could explain why you didn't agree with that and didn't do it, and why it is that after 20 years, when you've had the opportunity to introduce measures of this sort, you haven't done so. Thank you.
Councillor Godfrey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The existing system that we have for appointments to outside bodies actually is really good. It just hasn't worked very well over the years with you in control.
Oh, come on.
It hasn't, because I have asked many, many times over the last... Well, I'll tell you where it's from. It's from 2011 when this system was put in. 2011. In 2011 to now, there's been hardly any reports to this council from outside bodies when you've been in control. Hardly anything. Yeah. And what I will say is now, that will change. When the outside bodies now, strategic and priority, will be given reports at this council chamber once a year. That will happen. That hasn't happened with your party. And to stand there and try and make it a virtue out of trying to say, oh, we're going to change the policy, it's utter nonsense. And that's Councillor Pearce is absolutely right. The existing system, as long as it's used as it was intended to be used, and it's what we should stick with. But of course, if the Cabinet feel that there's something that wants changing in the appointments for outside bodies, then of course we'll look at it and then come to Council and say, look, this is what changes, what do you think? As right and proper. Therefore, Mr. Mayor, I think we should keep the existing system as it is, but working. And so I propose that the council members here tonight vote against this motion. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Vote against this motion.
Are you proposing that just goes to the vote? Yes, just goes to the vote now.
Sorry.
Because obviously the councillors of the council have indicated they want to speak. I've got Councillor Hull next.
As Councillor Perth was talking about football, I'd like him to know that with the previous administration, year after year, and I can't even remember the year I became a borough councillor, I was allocated to the Stone Youth Club. I donned my shin pads year after year. I told the previous administration that Stone had not had a youth club for about 23 years. Never got an answer back. So my question is that our cabinet makes jolly sure that the appointments that we make to outside bodies count, and that we don't waste the time of councillors, and we certainly don't have any fictitious organisations and outside bodies. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have the honour of being one of the borough representatives on the staff of Horticultural Allotments Committee, and I attended their meeting last week. I attended their meeting last week. There are four people nominated from the borough to the committee. I was the only councillor who attended. Underneath proposals, if attendance falls below 80% over a 6-month period, then they would be removed from that position. The meetings happen quarterly, therefore, in a 6-month period, the other three members have already dropped below the required 80% in this motion, and that would leave me as the sole representative, because for that proposal, there were no alternatives on the papers at the last council. So I don't want to be left as the only person on that committee. I'd like other members present to have the honour and the pleasure of listening to all the wonderful work that goes on in our allotments, and to support them with the fantastic work they do. So I would also urge members to vote against.
Thank you, Councillor Russell. Was it Councillor Rose next to adjudicate? No. Any other councillor wishes to speak?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wish to second the leader's motion, please.
To the vote.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, the Conservatives really do take the biscuit for brass-necked cheek.
Yeah.
They've had 20 years to do something about this. It was Councillor Godfrey who, when he was chairman of the Partnerships Committee, and many of the councillors here wouldn't even know about it because he weren't here. But he pushed that through the Partnerships Committee when he was chairman to say there should be reports every year on outside bodies. Nothing happened until, not this last municipal year, but the one before, when we were asked if we were on strategic outside bodies, such as, for example, Stafford District Arts Council, if we were on strategic bodies, we had to write a report, and something of a template was given to us. So I wrote a report, because I was on Stafford District Arts, and it was about 3 pages long, about what had happened, decisions that had been taken. Later on, I looked at the sort of size of reports coming from other members of the council. And lo and behold, it was one paragraph, 2 paragraphs. In other words, it was treated as a fairly simple idea, and we're not going to spend too much time on it. I think we'd need to do better than that if we brought something like this in again. And I think the ideas here are half-baked. They've also had an allusion to the percentage attendance. It doesn't work for some. Actually, the Arts Council, they usually have about 2 general meetings a year and the AGM, and they invite the representatives to that. So if you missed one of those, you've missed a third. So you've had your 80%. Well, that's stupid, because there could be other outside organisations that have a meeting once a month. So it doesn't square up, it's not equalised, it's not been thought through, because all they were doing is playing party politics, and they can't even remember that they did nothing about it when they were in power for 20 years, and suddenly they think, oh, this could be a good wheeze. They don't even realise we've had it done a couple of years ago. Some of them probably didn't even write the reports. So, Mr. Mayor, this is rubbish, and we ought to throw it straight out.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Well, I just want to remind this council, if they're prepared to sit here, I do remember when the people over there now were in power, and we actually were finishing meetings, council meetings, at nearly midnight.
Oh, good. Let's do that again.
No, if you're all prepared to sit there, probably listening to a load of, then it's, 12 o'clock. I think it was 11:45, the first council meeting I attended in 1999. So if you're prepared to do that, all well and good.
Well, if people keep talking, we will.
Thank you. It's in the pipeline, Mr. Mayor, don't worry.
If there's no further, I know Councillor Winton's got to speak. Councillor Winton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is quite pleasing for me because although there's a bit of banter backwards and forwards, both Councillor Perth and the leader seem to agree on the fact that outside bodies are incredibly important. Now, Mr. Ralph Cook and myself and Angela Loughran, as an example, on Sarum Penk, we go into those meetings not as a political meeting, but as a meeting to try and make sure that we do the best for our residents, the residents of Stafford and the surrounding areas. And a lot of them farmers, so perhaps I should put interest in before I said that. But that's incredibly important, and I'm sure that that is replicated all the way all around the borough. Now, we won't be able to get four sides of A4 because no one will want to read that about all of them.
Very interesting.
But I do agree that the leader's suggestion that there should be some of the more strategic and important ones, and possibly something around the town centre regeneration, should come to a meeting. And I would suggest it's before the appointments meeting next year or every year, so that we all of us have a chance to look at this and say, actually, that's an important outside organisation, and we should be doing something about making sure we get the best people on it. So, as I say, I'm quite pleased that the leader agrees with the leader of the opposition on this very important topic. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Would you like to speak before we vote?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to kick off, continuing the outro, I'll run out at some stage. Just to kick off on my comments, it is clear that we're in full agreement. Otherwise, we wouldn't all be saying how important the outside bodies and representation is. It's clear that councillors have wanted to make these changes for the last number of years. And so here is the ideal opportunity to make those changes. I welcome the words from the leader and also recognise that he's clearly taken on board some of the thoughts that went into, detailed thoughts that went into this motion. With the view of bringing forward these annual reports that he talked about, I would encourage the leader in so doing to ensure that it is cast in iron within the constitution. Just picking up a bit of the detail now we've got to half time, in terms of the Horticultural Society meeting last week, I am aware that it did clash with scrutiny, which left a number of people on the community scrutiny wanting to be in two places at the same stage. But I think the point about numbers, whether it's 80% or 50% or 60%, is lost in the detail. It's very easy to become overtly focused on the detail rather than the principles. And this was really about the principles. And what I do like is that for 20 years, party opposite have been looking to make changes, and they supported those changes being made. And now, after 20 years, there is a suggestion that they're going to vote against this and not make those changes that they can so make. I hope people will support this motion. It's put forward in the right, with the right intentions, and I think would benefit this council, and more importantly, would benefit our partners. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. Once the proposal motion is spoken and right to that. So, all those in favour of this motion, please raise their hands.
Aye.
Okay. So, against this motion? Yeah, in that case, the motion is defeated. Thank you, councillors. Then we move on to the next item of business, which is item 8, the health scrutiny joint working arrangement. So I'll ask Councillor Hood to move on this and to lock my board.
Members may be aware that Staffordshire County Council and the 8 Staffordshire District Councils have all signed up to a joint health scrutiny protocol since 2003. This is to ensure that there is no duplication in scrutiny of health bodies across the district, that there is clarity on how health scrutiny operates through the county, and that any scrutiny is carried out at the appropriate council. For example, county-wide issues should be scrutinised by the statutory county council health committee, and local specific issues may be scrutinised by each district committee. Sure. An update to the code was recommended to be agreed at a recent Staffordshire Leaders Board. The board recommended that each council adopted the revised code and also ensure that scrutiny arrangements are encapsulated within the council's constitution. The code was also reported to the Community Wellbeing Scrutiny Committee last week. The report therefore attaches the latest code for members' information and sets out proposed constitution amendments. The amendments do not change the council's current arrangements with the county council, as we already have joint scrutiny membership practices in place. However, they will ensure that the joint arrangements are set out clearly and consistently across each of the Staffordshire Authority's constitutions. I therefore recommend, Mr. Mayor, that the revised code is adopted and that the constitution amendments are approved. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. Can I ask the Lord to second? Thank you, Councillor. So if there's no further comment on it, can we go to the vote on that recommendation, please? All those in favour of the form? Thank you, councillors. Item 9 on the agenda is the committee business planning report, of which there are three. The first of which has been passed by Councillor Winnington on resources.
Again, thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is obviously a historical report. I do believe that Councillor Cusk is the chairman of the scrutiny committee when all of this was done. So I'd like to first of all say thank you to Councillor Cook for what was an interesting time last year. In terms of this report, it's set out in front of you. It's some of the really interesting salient points are around looking at resources, the fiscal impact of the things that the council does or different projects. In particular, freedom measure, the fees and charges review, the waste contract and complaints monitoring. I'm looking forward this year as chairman to go through all of those again and see how we compare year on year. It could be interesting and I welcome the banter as we go forward. But I support the report and I do feel like it's on behalf of the Councillor Cook and say thank you to all the members and all the officers for the work they've done on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Can I have a second on that report, please? All those in favour of accepting the report recommendation? Again, unanimous. Thank you, Councillors. So the second item on the list is from Councillor Beattie on the Economic Development and Planning.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And in exactly the same way as Councillor Winnington, I am reporting on Councillor Kemp's report on the work of the scrutiny committee over the past year. It covered a large number of items, all very relevant to the economic growth of the borough, and particularly point out ongoing issues, which is obviously the new local plan. The one I have particular interest in is the rural economy update, and the Section 106 work that's being done to ensure that we use well the money that comes from developers that is supposed to be used for the benefit of the borough. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. Is that seconded, please? That recommendation, someone that's
seconded.
Yeah. Thank you. All those in favour of accepting that recommendation? Again, unanimous. Thank you, councillors. And the final one on this item 9 is for Councillor Edgewell, summarising the community and what we report. Councillor Edgewell.
We apologise. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I'm sorry, I wasn't quite prepared for commenting on this, but because it's still Councillor Hunt's report. Sorry?
You don't have to.
No, I'm just saying, can you take it as read? It's Councillor Hunt's report, actually. Just to say thank you for all the members and that that have worked on that committee for the last 12 months. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So the recommendations of the committee approved the report. Ask you, somebody second that one, please. Councillor Cook. Thank you. And all those in. Do you want to say something?
Oh, I thought you were going to vote, Mr. Mayor. No, that's not.
Wait until I ask. So we have a second by Councillor Cook. Thank you. All those in favour of the report? Unanimous again. Thank you, Councillor. Are there any items of reverted from scrutiny committees? Not answered. Thank you. So in that case, that concludes our business. Thank you, Councillor.
Members of the Council, ladies and gentlemen, the substantive to which the Mayor of the Borough, Councillor Andy Cooper, retired from the Council of Cambridge.